into the image of your Son. Less of me and more of you. Father, I stand here, I say this week after week, that I have a responsibility to feed the flock of God that you have purchased with your own blood. I understand the responsibility that I have. So, Lord, may I not speak out of my own thought process. May I not give to your people that which I think the word says, but that we will open up the word of God, that the word of God will accomplish that which you set it out to do. You have said so often that your word is alive and active. It goes right into the core of our thinking. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable, must be acceptable, got to be acceptable in your sight. My Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Turning our Bibles to Matthew, most familiar passage of Scripture, chapter number 2. I am going to be reading verse number 1. You as a congregation is going to be reading verse number 2, and we're going to be reading that way all the way down to verse number 11. Matthew chapter number 2. Please, if you can stand up, don't stand up for me, but in honor of God's word, may we stand to our feet. Oh, my Lord. Verse number 1 says this. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him.
And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ
be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And Herod, when he had privily called the wise men and inquired of these of them diligently what time the star appeared.
And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when he had found him, bring him word
in, that I am on the church of all. Liar. I'm sorry, I just thought I'd say that. And when they had heard the king and departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child was.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You may be seated. Wow, this is the last sermon of our series that we've been talking to you about. Why in heaven did God come down? Throughout the month and throughout our various classes that we have been having, we have come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ became man for the sole purpose of redeeming us back to the Father. To understand that, I said this last week and in Sunday school today, that Jesus Christ came down here where we were because we could not go up there in the state that we were in to the Father. So he came and became the writers of the Bible calls him a propitiation, a substitute somebody that stood in for you, and that because of him being a perfect sacrifice, God accepted him, and now you and I have access to the Father. Oh, that is so wonderful. You could hardly contain yourself when you think of what you got now as a Christian. You have access. Matter of fact, Ephesians speaks about that you and I, we sit in heavenly places. Right there. You see Jesus sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Well, today we want to talk to you about a gift fit for a king. A gift fit for a king. Now, before we can go into that, I need to check out your Christian or your Christmas IQ. Okay, I just want to know what you know about Christmas. So I wrote down a couple of questions, and the Christmas story is very familiar to all of you. How many of you in here don't know the Christmas story? Figured that. All of you know the Christmas story. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I'm going to answer this question. When Jesus was born, what kind of animal did Mary and Joseph ride on to get down to Bethlehem? Second question. When Jesus was born, what animals were present in the stable? Oxen, goat, sheep, or camel? When the wise came from the east and they presented to Jesus gifts, how many gifts did they present to Jesus? What country did the kings come from? You don't have to try to answer that any further, because the question that I asked you has no biblical context at all. None. You called them kings. Scripture don't call them kings. You said that they rode down on a donkey. Bible doesn't say that he rode into Bethlehem on a donkey. You said that there were sheep, oxen, and goats present when he was born. Once again, the Bible don't say that neither. We just assume, because of all of the stories that have been told, all of the postcards and Christmas cards that has been printed throughout the centuries, we have just assumed that they were biblical stories, when in fact they're not. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm not saying that, but it's just amazing how much we think we know about the Christmas story when it shows that there's not too much that we do know. So I'm going to go back to the last question that I asked, because so many of us think of this. So let me ask you again, how many presents were presented to Jesus by those that came from the east? Three. Because the Bible does mention gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You would assume that that was only three. And sometimes we fail to overlook this. But before we get to the fourth one, because there is four, I want to bring your attention to something. We want to bring your attention to something, because this is wow. This is a wow factor. The Bible says in our lesson, listen to this. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, please pay attention and get this. They come into Jerusalem, and they're guesstimating they came from Iraq or Iran, because they were Persian. So they come about 1,000 miles away. And just so you know this, I give you this information now. It took about 5 months for them to leave Persia to come and present Jesus. So I want you to understand, Jesus was between, according to the studies, was between 6 months to 2 years of age. Anybody know why I say that? Because when the wise men went back to their homeland, Herod heard this, and then he set out an edict that you will kill every child from 2 years old and under. So that's why we come to the conclusion that Jesus was not a baby when the wise came, but a child. But get this, you got to get this, because this is going, there's a life application here. Now listen, they saw the star in the east, so they traveled west. You get this? East to west. Now, when they come to Jerusalem, they ask Herod, where is he born, king of the Jews? Because we have seen his star. Do me, bring Numbers 24 and 17 up there and leave it up there until I call for another verse, okay? So there was, they saw the star of the Messiah in the east. And whether it was Bob Haley's comment or whatever, or whatever they're trying to say it was, that's not important. But they saw a star. So they traveled over to Jerusalem. Now get this, they're there in Jerusalem, and they asked a question, and of course, Herod, he grabs all of the scribes and stuff and asks, and they go into scripture, and they read Micah 5, and they said, Micah 5 and 2, that it's out of Bethlehem of Judea, is the Son of God being born there? Now get this. So then Herod calls them and said, now listen, when you go and find him, give me word, and I'm going to come back and worship. Now get this, get this. They came out of Herod and then saw his star. Get this. Bethlehem is 5 miles south from Jerusalem. That means Jerusalem is 5 miles north of Bethlehem. You don't get it yet? Stars travel east to west, not south and north or north to south. You hear that? God changed the culture of the world to get those to where his son is to be found. Stars don't travel north to south, but east to west. So listen, the principle is this. It doesn't matter how far you have traveled. It doesn't matter what your life you have gotten your life into. God will alter the life just to bring you to Jesus Christ. God will change your life just to bring you to Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter that I'm going this way and I can't turn around and there's no other help for me. I want you to know that God is going to alter your life so you can come to the King. It is important that you understand that God is doing something in your life. If you're here today and you're not saved, God is working something out. And you're not here by accident. God is working something. You're here today because God wants you to know that there is a gift for a king right in you. There is a gift in you for a king. Now listen, listen, let's get here. Here is Jesus, a baby, a child. And these wise men bring to him, get this, gold, frankincense, myrrh, and themselves. Amen. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. See, we sometimes overlook the greatest gift is because they knew that they were fit for a king. See, it took them a lot. When they left their homeland, they left everything behind. They're coming and surrendering everything to God. I know when it was at their grave, they said, I surrender all, withholding nothing. I'm giving all to you. Oh, my God. And so they present to him that which is worthy of a king. They gave him gold. They gave him frankincense because he is the great high priest. Oh, my goodness. Oh, to understand that we have a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He is in heaven. He is in heaven sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and for me. And we can come to the throne of grace boldly. Oh, and because of Jesus Christ, is the high priest. The Bible says, that you are kings and priests unto God. Oh my God. See, these people traveled over 1,000 miles. 5 months it took them in dangerous territory. But they wasn't going to allow nothing to hinder them. I'm going to the sun. I'm coming to Jesus. I saw his star and I'm coming right where Jesus is. And he's saying the same to you. I don't want to embarrass him, but Brother Mike was speaking today. And he speaks volumes because it's true of all of us. There are areas in our lives. We're not going to lie. Some of us are dealing with pornography. Some of us have those sex things that's going in our lives. There's addictions. Whatever it may be, there's area in our lives that you think that God don't care about. But those are the areas that God is saying, you present them to me today. You give me that area. I don't care if it's from cigarettes to cocaine. It doesn't matter. You can be on that K2 or whatever it is. But I'm letting you know that God is saying, give me your all. I don't just want your gold, and I don't want your frankincense, and I don't want your myrrh. I want all of you. I got to have all of you. Present to me your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me. The Bible says that's but your reasonable service. All that I have done for you, that's the least you can do for me. Oh, they came. They came from a long journey. It is great to know that according to Hebrews chapter 7, that our God is able to save from the guttermost. The Bible says the uttermost, but the uttermost is right there where you are when you've been abused and all kind of manner of things have been done against you, and you're wondering, my God, when is it going to change? It changed today. It stops today. You're going to come and you're going to bring something to God, and you're going to present it to him. You're going to give him your all. Dear hearts, don't hold nothing back. Come on. Come on, open your heart. Tell God, search me. Yeah, I'm addicted to masturbation. Yeah, I'm slipping over here and I'm smoking marijuana. I'm doing this. Come on. God is saying, be honest to me. Give me everything that you got. Because listen, when God purchased us, you were that. I remember Paul gives a long list of things. You were homosexuals. You were liars and stealers and thieves. You were no good, rotten scum of the earth. And then he goes on to say, and such were some of you. But you have been cleansed. You have been cleansed and you have been justified. There is a value on every one of you that my words cannot describe how valuable you are to God. All I could do is paint a picture in your mind that God loved you so much that he would send his son when he didn't have to. When man deliberately turned his back on God, God did pass judgment. To hell you went, to hell you will go. And he kicked him out of his presence. Get out, you dirty. Get out, because that's what they were. I just see it in my mind's eye. When he saw just the silhouette of them walking, and the sun was going down, and he just saw a glimpse shadow of them fading away. I don't care. He took off his royal diadems. He laid aside his robe, and he's sitting there, and yeah, I pass judgment on them. Yeah, they deserve hell, but oh, there's something about my justice. There's something about my mercy. And because of his mercy, he jumped up, and the 42 generations, he ran after man. Oh, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us, to redeem us. My dear brothers and sisters, we are talking today that we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. What is God is yours. What is Jesus is yours, because God has redeemed you back from iniquity and purified unto you a peculiar people. I'm going to tell you this. You are a gift fit for a king. It ain't because of you, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but the free gift of God. The free gift of God. You guys and gals know the scripture. For the wages of sin is death. Yeah, he passed judgment. But the gift of God, Jesus Christ. Yeah. You mean to God. You mean a lot to him. You can go through all of that. He loves you. Listen to me. He loves you. He mentioned, Brother Roberto mentioned, there's a fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins. Oh, and all you need to do is come and dip yourself beneath that stream. And the Bible says that though your sins may be like scarlet, but because of the effectiveness of my blood, you shall be white as snow. May we stand to our feet today. Oh, glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are here today and your life is at a crossroad, I want you to know there is a fork in the road that leads to and back to the cross. Listen to me. You messed up. You blew it. And there, you don't see no hope. Today you do. Deacon, listen to me. If you're here today and you want to come home, come. Come take advantage of this Christmas present that not only can do you receive from him, but he receives from you. If you're here today and you have went astray and you want to come back home, go ahead and think that you can't. Go ahead and think that you there's no way in the world. That's a lie. That's a lie. There is eternal life for you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, please, sir or ma'am, won't you come? Won't you?